in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you for your prayers for my travels this couple of weeks. It's been in Singapore, but I had a series of trips after this, leading up to the 45th anniversary of the Mandarin Communication and Coming Wrong. Our brethren in Singapore attend the reception of Ebenezer, who has sent us on your behalf, your fraternal greetings, and has asked me to convey their regards to every brothers and sisters in Ebenezer. Even as we uphold one another in prayers, working only by the grace of God, seeking to glorify Him in the different localities that God has placed us. But I've also brought along the next quarter of Billy Miller. This is a devotional book produced by Calvary with Pastor Isaac as the chief editor. Each day, there is a short passage. There is a recommended readings to help you in your daily quiet time with God. I understand that there's a group of you who meets regularly to discuss the relevant Bible passages. And this is a good way to discipline ourselves to read God's Word and help one another in our spiritual growth. In fact, there's a Bible reading plan inside the book as well. You can follow it in your personal devotion every day. It could help you finish reading the Bible within 2 years. So this starts actually in October the 1st. But if you want to start today, there are still copies of the app for this quarter left. Right? So just make use of all the resources. You know, sometimes some members of our church will show us how they underline and highlight. So we put their thoughts on the book, and this gives us great encouragement. So it tells us that all these efforts that we've devoted in are not wasted. And no matter how beautiful the printed any book is, if it is not read, then it doesn't serve its purpose. Right? Same for the Bible as well. Right? If we carry a pretty Bible, but do not read it, then it doesn't serve its purpose. For us as well. Right? We are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of God to glorify Him. The Bible says your soul will know right well how marvelous God is simply by looking at yourself and your life. And if you do not praise God, you do not serve Him, you do not love Him, you do not love one another, then this body of yours, no matter how beautiful it is, doesn't serve any purpose. And there's a junior version of the Daily Manna as well, right? So it's a 5 years recurring project targeted at children between 9 to 13 years old. By the age of 14, a child would have moved on to the adult Daily Manna. This one is with devotional passage, and also an activity page every day. So I'm sure children could benefit from it too. So I would encourage you to take your copy and start reading. And to God so bless you, be more to pass by us and encourage them to walk closer with God. We need to support one another and remind one another of God's love because we are all one in Christ. Isn't it? Right? There's a bond that ties all Christians as one. If you put two strangers, but both Christians from different countries together, there are many things we could talk about. Why? We have a lot to thank music. So it's a family of singing family. Not necessarily in a physical singing, but in the daily interaction with one another. A family that sings of God's grace. A family full of thanksgiving for God. A family knowing no matter what happens, God is always in control. A family blessed by the new song God has put in your heart.
Caught in the heart of the singer, and they always had to do with themselves. And they love
to sing songs and exalt themselves. They may have lived better, the cha-cha for the week. The truth is, the best hymns shouldn't be the ones that bring attention to oneself. And for the matter, even one's love for God. The best hymn should set its focus on God and His love for us. The faithful God who cares for every soul He has created. And trust in Him. We do not see things from our perspective, or our own perspective. We put God's word and God's kingdom first above everything. And through our conversations, we shall declare His truth to the world. That God is still and forever on the throne, and He will remember His own. No trials may press us, no burdens may distress us, He will never leave us alone. And we do not despair like those without hope, because we have a God who watches over us. And thus Deborah and Barak says in sings in verse 3, "Hear, O ye kings, give ear, O ye princes. I, even I, will sing unto the Lord, and I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel." And of course, this is your memory verse for this month. Such a beautiful verse, isn't it? And the children of God are now singing into the ears of kings and princes. In this verse, we see a big contrast. Are we to sing and to even demonstrate our faith to the kings and princes of this world? I mean, these are people with power, with authority, yet I, even I, sing proudly and confidently unto the Lord in front of all these people. Not because there's anything in me that gives me the power and courage to do that, but simply because I'm singing praises to the Lord. Yes, the world is glamorous. The books of kings is magnificent. Right? The men of princes are impressive in the eyes of men. But we would fix our eyes upon the Lord, whose glory is way beyond that of His world. Really, our Lord told His disciples in Matthew 6, "Consider the lilies of the valley, lilies of the field, and how they grow. They coin not, neither do they spin. And yet, I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of this." King Solomon, with his kingdom and his palaces and his wisdom, all of them gathered together, could not be compared even to the lilies of the field. No matter how cunning the hands of men, how brilliant the minds of human, they could not create and fathom the mystery of life in the smallness of God's creation. So who do you want to worship? Man or God? The choice is obvious. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All His joy, but His love abides ever through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus. Give His cross my first shadow. Give me clearer, brighter vision face to face. My Lord, I see. So can we read in verse 3? Hear, O ye kings, give ear. O ye princes, I, even I, will sing unto the Lord. I will sing praise to the Lord God of Israel. And our first point for today is again, we sing because we are God's children and we trust in His promise. There are only 3 points for today, and now the second point. We sing because we are weak beings, but God uses us to do His work. We are weak beings, but God uses us to do His work. You know, the Song of Deborah actually came after the deliverance God has given to the Israelites through the fourth judge in this book. And it's a clear case of how God has used the weak to overcome the strong. How He has used the humble to take down the crowd. So I tell you in advance what I'm going to do. We'll pause here in our memory verse that is Judges 5, verse 3, and then I'll highlight to you a few verses in chapter 3 and chapter 4 to illustrate my second point. And then we'll come back to round up the rest of the verses in today's passage very, very shortly this thing might meet the left, and your soul will be on the right. And this will, the guards do not, thinking that the weapon is actually on the right side. The third judge in the book is also interesting. But it was actually summarized in only one verse, that is the last verse of chapter 3. Verses 3 and verse 30. His name was Shamgar, and it was said that he once slew 600 Philistines with an ox goad, which is a hammer tool used to get oxen going while they were pulling a cart. Again, an otherwise quite useless tool in war, but God has made use of it to do great things. Now, the moral of our judge for today is now, right? You'll be rid of one, the one and only female judge in history. Because ordinance is such that men should take up leadership role. But we read here that Israel was delivered through a woman of courage and wisdom. In fact, there's more than one woman in Judges chapter 4, right? There's two. The second one is called Hannah. So there's this one recurring point, right? That God would use the weak to subdue the strong. And we see this point again and again in the book of Judges. And for the matter, in the whole Bible, right? God likes to use weak beings like us to accomplish his work. I hope you have done your homework and read that story before you come, because I don't know about to spend too much time telling you the story. But turn to chapter 4 again, I will just run through a few verses with you and look at verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 1 tells us, "And the children of Israel gave the evil in the sight of the Lord, where the judge Ehud was dead." You may ask, Ehud is the second judge, right? Now, why is it not Shamgar? Right? It might be the case that the writer of Judges had a strong impression of Ehud. Anyway, he's going to mention Shamgar again later in chapter 5. Anyway, so what happened is, in their complacency, the Israelite has sunk and sinned again. Because in verse 2, we read that the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, the reign in heaven, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the ten house. So the Israelites were then suffering under the Canaanites. And the Canaanites have two leaders. One is a king, Jabin, and then the other is the army commander under him, Sisera. So remember, two enemy leaders. And we read that in verse 3, the strength of Canaanites says there, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel with chariots of iron. The Canaanites overpowered the children of God. If you could remember that in chapter 1, this is the same weapon that stopped the Israelites from driving out the inhabitants of the valley. Simply because the Israelites could not see beyond this weapons of war. It's like us, the obstacles in front of us block our view from the beautiful land that is behind. We give up so easily. And we say to ourselves, no, we could never do it. We tell ourselves there's no way we could get around and even defeat the iron terrors in our life. So we stay defeated. We never change. We fear that chancing a step forward will cause us greater damage. We're stagnant in the faith. In the same way, the Israelites were stuck in the Canaanite oppression for 20 years. Can you imagine that? Yet by God's grace, in this period of time, God raised up a prophetess there in verses 4 to 5. Right? Chapter 4, verses 4 to 5, read that she used to sit upon, I said, under the palm tree, giving advice and counsel to people. By the way of God, he sometimes raised up prophetess to do his work. We see them in both Old and New Testament. Moses' sisters, Miriam is one, the daughters of Philip is another. But they belong to minority, and they are recorded in a descriptive manner. That is, the Bible merely tells us at one point of time, there it is. But God uses men to take up leadership role, and we see them in the normative instruction of God. That is, God has explicitly placed the charge and responsibility of leading the church in the hands of man. silly, but we could see one possible reason. And men are weak, women rise. And we will see this first very soon. The ordinance of God is such that different gender has different roles. But that doesn't mean one gender is better than the other. The same way God the Son obeys God the Father, though they are essentially the same in substance, equal in power and glory. Men lead and women submit. And to be fair, submission isn't easy. Imagine you're working in a company and you have a boss who always makes the wrong decision. And as an employee, you have to submit and help him and counsel him, letting him know that he's still the boss. Submission isn't easy. It needs a lot of wisdom, a lot of wisdom, a lot of humility. No one could say the man or better than woman, but it does seem that God has given a difficult task of submission to women and not to men. But in any case, God has made it such that men and women could complement nicely when one leads and the other submits. The role of submission is required a stronger character as that of leading. And of course, other things as well. Men are physically stronger, emotionally more stable most of the time, I guess. Right? And with Abraham was after all a weaker vessel, and when it was time to fight the battle, to lead the people to clash with the enemies and shed blood at the battlefront, she recognized that we need a man. In fact, God has already chosen a man to do that. And his name is Barak. Read verses 6 and 7 of chapter 4. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh, in Naphtali, and said unto him, Does not the Lord God of Israel command us, saying, Go and draw to the Mount Tabor, and take with me 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali, and of the children of Zebulun, and I'll draw today to the river Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabez's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I'll deliver him into my hand. So what will you say if you are Barak? If God says the church needs you and come serve in the Lord's army, if God says be strong, for I promise you I'll be with you against the gate of hell. Just stand up and do your part. If God says there's a gap in this city wall and a suffer man among you to stand in the gap so that the enemy couldn't get in, what would be your response? Many ways you can respond. Right? For one, you could just give up and say, from a humble assessment, the situation is beyond hope. We'll just leave. Another, you could just sit and wait and see what happens. Right? You don't want to minister, you just want to sit and be ministered unto. Because you think that you're not good enough. You say, I can do this. Just get others to do that. There are better people with greater talents. Right? People laugh at me if I stand up. Maybe you could even strike out in defiance, why me? And don't think of this unrewarding job where others just sit and watch. comfortable interpreting for someone who speaks in English and to the memory communication, or just come in and with a much greater, I think I can do it. And then as a result, I fumble and interpret certain parts wrongly. And sometimes even the easiest translation would just slip my mind. And I could see that as God teaching me to be humble, to remind me that I am who I am, that I can do what I do because it's all by God's grace. So to a certain extent, it is good to feel inept, to do certain tasks. But more importantly, the reservation that you have shouldn't paralyze your service to God. The reservation to serve shouldn't paralyze your service to God. This holding back shouldn't stop you from serving God. You must ask God for strength. You can pray prayers like, God, I know I'm not good, but please help me. Or you could honestly tell God your fair assessment of yourself and the situation. Pray something like, God, I see this need in church, and I think I could help. So please give me the strength to discuss this with the leaders and see how I could fit into this area. So I believe we shouldn't fault Barak too much for approaching that rough camp. For anyway, he eventually did respond to the call. He did fight battle. And then Barak went with him, and he did defeat the king of Canaan. Yes, he struggled like all of us. He hesitated, and I'm sure he prayed. But the most important thing is, he did what God told him to do. His faith leads to his action, and at the end, he could sing the victory song. Then on the other hand, we also can dismiss the fact that Barak is looking at men rather than God when he cannot go fight the battle without us. God's prophetess. He's so used to having someone to rely on, to know God's will, that he's not ready to fight the battle without Deborah. It tells us that he's limiting God's power to use any man, any weak beings to accomplish his purpose. So let me just look at one more verse in chapter 4, that's verse 9. And that's Deborah's reply to him. She said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And she did. And so essentially what she told Barak is this: all right, I will go with you. But that would mean that you will not be honored in this battle. And interestingly, does God know this would happen? Yes. He has ordained for this to happen even before Barak voices his apprehension. Because God has appointed it such that the Canaanites will be defeated by a woman. Not only by Deborah, but also by another woman, Jael, who later killed the Canaanites army from under Sisera. Remember, two enemies. Barak defeated Jael the king, and later Jael killed Sisera, the army from under. And she killed it by being one of the most unexpected way. She drove a nail into his temple, when he was deep asleep. Was not to be read in the rest of Judges chapter 4. But the gist of this historical narrative is this. And that is back to our second point. God likes to use big beings like us to accomplish his will. This is, of course, not to say people of God use, whom God uses are just all weak people. Right? I mean, you look at Moses, you look at David, you look at Paul, and especially Paul. An apostle whom God used to write down nearly half of the New Testament, the plant churches all over Asia and Europe, the student of the Galilean, very respected by the people. Who would say that Paul is weak? Would be Moses, or David, or Paul? And there's one thing that is in common. still in 2 Samuel 11, calling Israel, the witness, old man in his heart in Romans 7. All of us, all of them have witnesses. But these witnesses of them only make them realize that they are but big beings being given great tasks to do by God. And they could only do it with God's help. And in the end, when the book is done, you would give all glory to God. So may the realization that we are but big beings spurred us to do even more things for Christ, for his glory. And the interesting thing is this, if we have a relation right with God, then God will make sure that everything will fall in place. When the words of Jesus in 2 Corinthians was coming up, right? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's response was, most gladly, therefore, will I rather the glory of my infirmities than the power of Christ be rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So why do we sing? Why do we sing? Because we are God's children, and we trust in His promise. Point two, we sing because we are weak men, and God uses us to do His work. Point three, we sing because our God is a sovereign God who puts all things together for good to them who love Him. Our God is a sovereign God who puts all things together for good, for good to them who love Him. Right? Do you like my point? Look at this. Just a few more verses in chapter 4. Right? The first one is chapters 4 and verse 7. Pretty obvious there. Chapters 4, verse 7, he called him to fight a battle. The result of the battle has already been decided. Because the Lord says, I will deliver the enemy into thy hand. That is God's promise. But surely he will fulfill it. What Barak has to do, what we have to do, is just follow God's instruction. We don't have to worry about the result. We don't have to worry about what will happen to us. If God so decrees, then our job is just to follow. And God will give us the victory. And the record of the victory is written there. Now in verses 4, chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Chapter 4, verses 13 to 16. Let's get there and read it together. Chapter 4. Chapter 13 to 16. The country 1, Michael. And Sisera gathered all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him, from Harosheth of the Gentiles unto the river of Kishon. And Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord has delivered Sisera into thy hands. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Abal, and 10,000 men came after him. And the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots, and all his souls with the edge of the sword before Barak. So that Sisera lighted down off his chariots and fled away on his feet. But Barak pursued after the chariots and after the bulls, unto Harosheth of the Gentiles, and all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. 900 chariots of iron. That's all the armies of Sisera. All destroyed. Not one left. Surely this is the work of the Lord. Is it possible? Of course it is possible. With God, everything is possible. And this is a privilege we have as God's children. When we do His work, in this way, He will make our way straight and grant us the victory. Now, a challenge in front of us might look daunting. We might not be able to see what is lying beyond it, but we don't have to worry. But God sees everything, and He works together for good, for His children. Everything for good. Right? In fact, He prepares a way before we see look at this verse. It says that, now Hannah the Kenite, which was of the children of Hogah, the father-in-law of Moses, has severed himself from the Kenites and pitched his tent under the place of Zanaim, which is by Kadesh. And this is verse 11. This is before the realm defeated the army. And we were told here that for some reason, right, this man called Hannah had broken away from his people and moved to a place near to that battleground. We do not know what caused this to happen. Hannah himself didn't know what would happen in the future either. He was probably too caught up by the issue which caused him to leave his people. But God knows. God has allowed his breaking away to happen so that he will move the place that was supposed to go. And there, Sisera would ran right into his tent. There's no way one could escape if one is looking against our sovereign God. Who is our true and living God, who is still in control today and forevermore. And thus we can sing. Because our God is a sovereign God who works all things together for good for those who love him. And we come back to chapter 5. Our passage for today, I'll read again. Chapter 5, in verse 4, the song continues. Lord, when thou wendest out of Seir, when thou marchest out of the field of Edom, when the earth trembled, and the heavens drop, the clouds also drop water. Verse 5, the mountains melted from before the Lord, even as Sinai from before the Lord God of Israel. Surely God is for us. If God is for us, who could be against us? Verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Midas, in the days of Jael, the highways were occupied, but were unoccupied, and the travelers walked through byways. And there was a time, during that time, it was dangerous, where people stayed away from highways, whatever they were. Robberies in the broad daylight. Verse 7 says, the inhabitants of the villages seize the cities in Israel. You will see peaceful villages around until there, Deborah, the mother of Israel, arose. People are fleeing from places, not living in passages. But verse 8 says, they chose new doors. There was war in the case. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? So the Israelites were relying on their own resources. Their weapons were all confiscated by the Canaanite oppressor. But that was all in the past. For God has heard the cries of his people, and he had raised a judge to deliver them. But Deborah told the people to spread the good news to the leaders and the followers in verse 9. And those who rode on white donkeys and judged the people have been delivered from oppression and have seen the power of God, they shall sing of his righteousness. They shall come forth and stand out the witness of his goodness. They shall sing for kings and princes with much conviction and with much courage that they have a righteous God who not only loves them but also has the power to deliver them. So what are we waiting for? Verse 12 reads, awake, awake, Deborah. She was reminding herself, wake up. We should be reminding ourselves to wake up. See what God has done and could do to us. Awake, awake, utter a song. Sing to the Lord. Arise, Barak, lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abinoam. Lead the way and show the people the spoils of the war. Show the people what great victory is God has secured for his people. And all this is possible when we know who God is. In fact, our 3 points for today tells us the essence of spiritual revival. Point one, going on with God's promise, we know his word, and we anchor ourselves firmly under it. Point two, we know who we are, and thus we learn to be humble and teachable, always ready to follow God's calling. Point three, we know who God is, and with him, as our Lord of hosts, we will secure the victory. So the essence of it, right? Secure ourselves in God's word, know who we are, and know who God is. And with that, we could have revival. So let us sing for the battle that's already won when God has adopted us into his kingdom. Let us sing, for we are always being right with God, being free from sin, afraid to do his work. So awake, awake, O people of God, awake, awake, add your song. rise, brothers and sisters, they showed that